Oh, man. All right, Colossians chapter 3. A couple of announcements just to remind you all. In December, there will be a youth retreat, December 28th through 31st, up at Southland, and it's for the teens. That will be December 28th through 31st up at Southland for teens, 7th through 12th grade. And let me get my notes here. This Sunday we'll have all the kids will move up a grade in Sunday school classes. And let's see. I think that's it. Sunday school classes move up, youth retreat, December 28th through 31st for teens at Southland. And there you go. Yeah, I guess so. I guess it is. Next Tuesday is Mary Beth. Next Tuesday, Ladies Fellowship. Sure, whatever, you know. Yeah, I'll see you there. I'll see you in there. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look at one word here. Just kidding. I was looking at you. Yeah, I said it and I was just looking at you like this. Colossians chapter 3. And we'll start at verse 5. And I'm going to give you three truths that come out of the next few verses here. There's multiple ways to handle these verses, but we'll deal with them this way this evening. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Paul is dealing with putting on the new man, putting off the old man, putting on the new man. The new man is Jesus Christ. It is all the likeness of Jesus Christ. And there's three principal elements in this that are very appropriate for our time and place here. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, the Bible says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." So these are the things that make God mad. I've heard it said, and it's almost said in a way that the only thing that makes God mad is someone not trusting Jesus Christ. Well, that does make God mad, but these are some things that make God mad too. Fornication, covetousness, all this stuff. So he says, "For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when you lived in them." So apparently he understands you got a past. I mean, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, you came from somewhere. You got something you got out of and came into. "But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." So three things that we'll look at, three truths out of this. There's so many ways to deal with these verses, and we could literally, you know, dissect them and all that stuff. But you get the idea. I mean, you get the idea of what's being said. And I think these truths this evening are a great, I guess, I don't know, just a very appropriate way to apply these things to us here and now. So let's pray, and we'll look at three things out of these verses. Father, I pray that you'd help us this evening. Thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for these words. Thank you for, Lord, your goodness to us. For those that are sick, pray that you'd heal up their bodies. And those that are maybe coming home from work and all that right now, pray that you'd give them safety. And those that traveled a good distance here, pray that you'd give them safety going back home. And thank you again for everybody here. And I pray that you would feed your flock tonight and those that are watching. Pray that they'd get what they need out of these words and this study this evening. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll just give you the three truths out of all this, and then we'll go back over it. The first thing we already mentioned. First thing is found in verse 7. It says, "In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them." Just describing all that former stuff he just described. And the first truth is this. Everyone has a past. You came from somewhere. And the Lord understands that. But let the past be the past and move on. Second thing is, verse 10, you got to put off in order to put on. I'll show you a couple of cross-references to this when we get to it. But Christianity is not... I think some folks get the idea sometimes, maybe it's the way it's presented, maybe it's the way people feel about what they're hearing, I don't know, but get the idea that Christianity is rules and things like that. And yeah, there are rules. I mean, there's rules in a family, there's rules with mom and dad and things like that. So, you know, it's not evil to have them, but there's a reason for all of that stuff, and it's not just all negative. You're not only told to put off some things, but you're told to put on some other things. And you can't really just tell folks stop doing something without starting to do something else to replace that. And I'll show you some verses in the Bible about that. I mean, it makes good, I don't know, counseling material or something. I mean, it's just good material, practical stuff for a person's life. And then the third thing is this. In verse 11, he describes there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian. Third thing is this. Spiritual matters are not racial matters. And you've heard enough racism and stuff in the last year, few months, and you're all probably sick of it. And I think, I mean, the most racist people on the earth are the people who talk about this stuff all the time. And constantly blame others for their racism. Those are the most racist people I've ever encountered, and probably you have too. But the truth is in these verses, spiritual matters are not racial matters. For instance, righteousness doesn't have a skin color. Eternal life doesn't have an ethnicity. Justice, peace, those things don't have physical qualities or come from a certain heritage or anything like that. Those are spiritual things that have no ethnicity tied to them. There's nothing racial about them. And so when he says what he says about neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, we'll expound on this a little bit more. But spiritual matters are not racial or class qualities. They're not. So those three things, I've given you the outline. So now we'll go through this stuff in a little more detail here. First thing, everybody has a past. He says in verse 7, "In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them." So everybody came from somewhere. When you trusted Jesus Christ, if you've ever trusted Jesus Christ, that means you recognized the activities, the lifestyle, the way you lived, the way you conducted your business, the way you handled yourself, the way you thought about things, all of that stuff didn't have really anything to do with God, and now you want your life to have something to do with God. I mean, just to put it real general, that you want your life to have something to do with God Almighty. And so you recognize that what was going on at that point in time isn't God doesn't approve of these things. And it doesn't mean you're always doing horrible things before you met Jesus Christ. But he said, yeah, your life generally was just consumed with selfish matters and trying to please the flesh and maybe trying to maneuver and get the angle and try to make life better for yourself or easy for yourself. Or, I mean, ultimately it was just kind of a lot of selfish motives. But one day you realize, you know what, I'm a sinner. And my whole life is me and my sin, and you recognize, you know what, if I don't get this sin taken care of, I'm going to stand before God one day, and he ain't going to be happy about it. And so you recognize this former life, or this life has to change. And so that's what Jesus Christ came preaching. John the Baptist, they all said, both of them, repentance toward God and all that stuff. Paul said it, repentance toward God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And repentance meant the way I was going was wrong, and now I want to make it right. I want to change direction here. So Paul says it this way in Corinthians. He says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And one of the great things about reading a verse like this, it lets you know that God understands you came from somewhere. He understands that. He understands you came from somewhere. He says over in Psalms, how does he say that? He knows our frame, that we're but dust, basically. That's all we are. We're just dust, and that's physically, that's what we are. And so you came from somewhere, and he says over in Corinthians as well, he mentions these sins, fornication, idolatry, things like that. And then he says, and such were some of you. That's what you were. That's how you were identified. And if you were to die in that state, you would just be identified on God's judgment as a fornicator, an idolater. You would just be identified by your sin until you got your sin taken care of, and then you became a child of God. So everyone has a past. The old man, here's how the old man dresses in verse 8. He's angry, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds. All these things are just describing the old man. This is just the old life. It's just what the old life was consumed with. And so if you've come to a point in your life where you've heard the gospel, you've heard about Jesus Christ, you recognize, you know what, I'm a sinner, and if I were to die right now, I would go to hell. I need to get saved. I need God's righteousness. And I'm saying this for the benefit of people watching. I'm saying this for the benefit, I think most of you guys here are saved, but for the benefit of people watching at home, you come to that realization. Maybe you haven't, but eventually, hopefully, you do come to that realization that, you know what, I'm a sinner. I need God's righteousness. I cannot produce life. I cannot produce righteousness. I can't make myself live eternally. It doesn't matter what good works I do. I can't make myself any of those things. And so you receive, or you ask the Lord to give you eternal life as a gift. You ask for his righteousness. You let him know, I know I'm a sinner. And then he imputes and he gives you righteousness. And what happens is, all that stuff that you identified with before, he says, well, such were some of you. That's what you were. That's how you lived your life, and that's what you were. So everyone has a past. There's a, you know, I don't know that, I don't know, maybe there's a lot of folks that struggle with guilt from their past. And there probably is. There probably is quite a few folks that struggle with guilt from their past and things like that pop up, and You know, I'm not worthy and not good enough and all that kind of stuff. And the reality is, no, you're not good enough. Nobody's good enough. And the reality is, no, I'm not worthy either. Jesus Christ is worthy, and thank God he gave to me righteousness, and now I can put on the new man, and I can live in a different way than I lived before. So everyone has a past. Everyone has a past. And I got to say that it's comforting to read stuff like that in the Bible, because it lets you know, and it lets me know, and the Lord's letting people know, hey, I know you came from somewhere. I understand you came from somewhere. Just don't be defined by where you came from. Just don't be defined by, you got a new life now. It's new. It's all things are become new now. And I mean, maybe, you know, if you got saved early, maybe you didn't get into terrible stuff or anything like that. But I mean, just as a side note, if you got saved early, it means most of your sin has been committed as a Christian. So so there you go. Moving on. There we go. That doesn't apply to anybody here. So so everyone has a past. Verse 7, which ye also walked in some time when you lived in them. That's as comforting, and I mean, not to grab hold on it and say, well, you know, this happened in my life, so I'll never be able to do this, and this is why I'm this way, and all this stuff. Yeah, I mean, events define your life in some ways and things like that, but the fact is, in Jesus Christ, you're a new creature. You old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I think you read through the Bible, and Paul had a past. Now, granted, it wasn't like sin-filled in the way that most people's lives are. I mean, Paul's past was zealous and trying to be righteous to the point that he's killing people just so he can impress God. I mean, he is very successful in his religious endeavors. Except, I mean, worldly, he's successful. He says, "I prospered. I mean, I made a living. I made a good living doing what I was doing." And then he says, but I just count it all dung. It's past, it's old. It doesn't carry over to this new life. So first thing, simple truth, everyone has a past. Everybody has a past. You came from somewhere. The Lord knows you came from somewhere. And put off the old man. Here's the second thing. Put off in order to put on. You put off the old man in order to put on the new man. It's not just put off. It's not just, hey, stop doing this. It's stop doing this so you can start doing this. Stop doing this so you can start doing this. And I'll show you a good cross-reference that really, I think it's helped quite a few people. But look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Put off and put on. Put off the old man, put on the new man. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. You know, sometimes the answer to a behavioral problem is not, Lord, give me power to overcome this behavioral problem. Sometimes the answer is you need to start doing something else so you stop doing what you're doing. I'll give you an example. Look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. He says, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. See, you see, the you put off one and you replace it with something else. Stop lying and start telling the truth to your neighbors. Start telling the truth. And if you're telling the truth to your neighbors, you won't be lying to people. So put off the lying, put on the new man, speak truth with his neighbor. Verse 26, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Here's a good one, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So you got a problem stealing? Here's God's profound solution. Ready? Got a problem stealing? Get a job. Work for your money. Earn a living. So you'll have money to freely give other people. Now I understand, and you understand it, and the way this country is going, people in other countries have fallen on hard times. Christians have fallen on hard times. And that was, I just had this conversation a while back with somebody about stuff like this. And even back in the book of Acts, the Christians in Jerusalem fell on really hard persecution, and they needed help from other Christians. They needed financial help. So it wasn't a matter of, hey, go get a job. They couldn't. They were being persecuted actively, or maybe you're in an environment where you can't find a job. But that's not what this is addressing. This is a little bit different. This is somebody who's fully capable of having a job, but they choose to be a thief. They choose to steal. They choose to take from other people because they're too lazy to work. And so here's the great spiritual answer. Don't go home and pray about it. Don't beg God to intervene. If you're in this position and you're a thief and you're fully capable of having a job, the Lord's answer is, go get a job and work, and then you'll have something to give whenever other people are in need. So, I mean, the Bible is very, very practical. Let him that stole steal no more. Put off the old, put on the new man. Rather, let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So you see the back and forth? It's put off this, get this out of your mouth, and put this in your mouth. Quit stealing from people and get a job. Quit acting this way and start acting this way. So it's not just stop doing all this bad stuff, it's start doing this other stuff. So put off in order to put on, just like he says in Colossians, you've put off the old man, now you put on the new man. Here's the new man. And the new man is a hard worker. The new man is diligent about his business. The new man doesn't speak filthy communication. The new man edifies. The new man speaks the truth. That's the new man. That's the new man. Those are all characteristics and likenesses of Jesus Christ. That's the new man to put on. And then this, back over in Colossians, he says this in chapter 3, verse 10, kind of what we just read here, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. That is a great commentary on anti-racist, whatever you want to call it. Jesus Christ is the great, he's the unifier, everything in Jesus Christ, all of the spiritual blessings that you enjoy right now. If you're in Jesus Christ, this is the point. All those spiritual blessings, they don't have a ethnicity to them. For instance, like we mentioned earlier, peace isn't Chinese. It isn't African. It isn't Brazilian. It isn't American. Peace is a spiritual quality that has no ethnicity to it. There's no spiritual matters are not racial matters. Love, charity. Charity is not a an American quality. It's not a Peruvian quality. It's not a Japanese quality. You understand? It's not an ethnicity. Charity is a spiritual matter. You can be Chinese and have charity. You can be African and have charity. You can be American and have charity. You can be American and not have charity. It has no ethnicity. Spiritual matters aren't ethnic matters. I bring it up regularly just to make it reinforced. But just like Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. These ethnic matters that you're relying on, they don't have as much spiritual value as you think they have. And really, when it gets down to it, spiritual truths they're not racial truths at all. Mercy is not white or black or Japanese or Chinese. Mercy is spiritual. It's a spiritual quality. Kindness is not South African. It's not Nigerian. It's not Italian. That's spiritual. So spiritual matters they're not racial matters. Like he says, there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian. And then he says, bond nor free. So they're not racial matters, and they're not class qualities either. Kindness, mercy, charity. I try to think of another quality that's spiritual. Long suffering, patience. Those things are not. There's no class quality. Someone with this title isn't necessarily long suffering, while someone down here is, or the other way around. These things are spiritual matters. And he says, in Christ, it's not that your ethnicity goes away. You're no longer a human being that was born in America or wherever you were born. It's not that your ethnicity goes away. It's that all of these spiritual blessings just don't have any ethnicity associated with them. There's no racial component to kindness. There's no racial component to charity. There's no racial component to righteousness. You can be Chinese and be righteous. You can be American and be righteous. You can be Nigerian and have God's righteousness. These things, they have no racial... I know you're tired of hearing that word. But they just have no racial component to them at all. So when he says what he says, it's not that... because he'll say, I think it's in Galatians, he says neither male nor female and things like that, and people take that and to say, okay, well, the genders are all dissolved and there's no more genders and all that. That's not true. You're still male or female. You're still American or wherever you were born. He's just saying these spiritual qualities, they just have no ethnic component to them. They're spiritual. There's no physical, it doesn't look a certain way. It doesn't have a certain color skin, does it? They're spiritual things. Mercy, truth, kindness, long suffering, goodness. You can't pin that on one race of people or whatever, one ethnicity, because it's not an ethnicity. It's spiritual. I think you get the idea. So verse 11. It's a great, great commentary on, I mean, this whole, and the qualities that really matter, by the way, the qualities that really matter are spiritual qualities. They're spiritual qualities. These things that we're talking about in Jesus Christ in verse 11, neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. That's the Holy Spirit of God, Christ in you, the hope of glory, all that stuff. Those things are, the spiritual aspects are the most important aspects. I'll give you one example of that. If you had, I don't know, if you were, we'll say somebody that's wealthy. I think we're all Americans, we're all wealthy. I mean, we all got so much stuff, we don't know what to do with it. But you're wealthy, but constantly angry, fighting, mad, meaning the spirit's wrong. You know what? All that wealth doesn't really it doesn't really take the place of the spirit. In fact, the spirit seems to be more necessary to have than the wealth seems to be, because you can have all that stuff physically and have the wrong spirit, and that the stuff doesn't make up for it. Or you can have the right spirit, and if you have the right spirit, you don't really need the stuff. You got the right spirit. And I know we talked a little bit about that with Samuel and stuff like that on Sunday, but that's kind of the idea. The things that really make a difference, they're spiritual matters, and they're not ethnic, and they don't have any ties to, you know, where people are from or their heritage or anything like that. They're just spiritual matters. So three things here about putting on the new man. Number one, everyone's has a past. We all came from somewhere. And you came from somewhere, just don't bring that somewhere. Don't bring Egypt with you. You know, that's what God won't do the Jews. They're trying to bring Egypt with them. Don't bring Egypt with you. But everyone has a past, and that's comforting to know that God would actually say that. Like, I understand you came from somewhere. Number two, put off and put on. It's not all negative stuff. It's not all stop doing this, stop doing that, stop doing this. It's stop doing this so you can start doing this. Start doing this so you'll stop doing this. Start speaking the truth so you stop lying. Start working so you stop stealing. It's putting off and putting on something. Put on the new man. And then lastly, this new man, it's not racially or ethnically based. These spiritual matters, they have no, I don't want to say no connection, but there's no, I guess connection's a word, but they don't have any they're just not ethnically motivated. I mean, it's kindness, it's love, it's charity, it's mercy, it's long suffering, and those things don't come with a race associated with them. So the new man is not that you're not biologically what you are. It's not that you're not biologically, maybe you're Irish or whatever. Yeah, you're still Irish. It's just these spiritual matters, they don't have any ties to any of that stuff. So spiritual truths are just not racial truths. Mercy's not white, black, Chinese, Indian. Kindness not South African, Nigerian, Japanese, any of that stuff. It's just spiritual matters. So put on the new man. Put on the new man. All right, let's pray, and then we will take some prayer requests. Father, I pray it's been helpful. Just three simple truths out of all this. I pray that we'd remember these things. They're so practical. Such practical matters here. And I pray that you would feed your flock tonight. I pray that those that traveled, I know Will and Angela came a little way, and I pray that you'd get them safely back home, make sure Will gets some sleep and back up in the morning, all that stuff. And I know Alan and Denise traveled a little ways, get them home safely. And pray that you'd encourage us for the rest of the week. Take these truths that we've heard and make the applications that need to be made. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.